In the realm of rap music, when we consider our top 5 or top 10 list, names like Biggie, Pac, Nas, Eminem, and Snoop Dogg often come to mind. But of course, the list could vary, influenced by the generation one grew up in. Nowadays, the younger crowd might include Kendrick, Kanye, Drake, or J. Cole in their lineups. But have you ever noticed something missing? Rarely do we hear female artists mentioned in these discussions. This got me thinking about the current landscape of female rap and how it arrived at its present state. So without further ado, let's talk about it. When it comes to the rap industry, since its inception, it was primarily dominated by male artists and consumed by male fans. I mean, don't get it twisted, the ladies definitely love rap music and still do. However, what I'm trying to get at is that if one were to consider who rap music might have been targeted to more and even influenced more, it would undoubtedly be young men. When you consider the tremendous evolution of rap over the past 50 years, we've witnessed a bunch of subgenres emerge from its core foundations. Now, some of these subgenres may have had more adverse effects on audiences than others. Take the gangsta rap era, for instance. Compared to what we have today, it doesn't seem as graphic. It was more about artists from those environments trying to shed light on the realities and how they plan to overcome them. Then came gangsta rap's edgy cousin, trap music, which really honed in on the hustle and grind of the drug trade, whether it was the love for selling or consuming the goods, if you get me. But in 2012, hip-hop underwent a true shift to the dark side, when the Chicago rap scene introduced a new spin on gangsta and trap music, giving birth to what we now know as drill. Drill music took the violence aspect that was undeniably present in the previously mentioned subgenres and amplified it to the extreme. The beats were more aggressive, the lyrics were raw and direct, often mentioning real individuals these artists had issues with in the streets. The videos featured guns and everything else associated with that lifestyle, all out in the open. Needless to say, all three of these subgenres of rap music have had a profound impact on the male youth. They've considerably influenced the minds of young men in underserved communities.
This is the E-Way?
Yeah.
What is the E-Way known for?
Man, we known for shit, man. Making money, nigga, street shit. Everything get down dirty. We robbing, stealing,
what?
Shooting.
Why?
But even those in more affluent areas, because I'm sure we can all agree that a kid in the suburbs who listens to drill isn't confronted with the harsh realities of the lyrics he so often consumes, in the same way a young kid in the hood is. But recently, hip-hop appears to be undergoing a shift from its once male-dominated landscape. We're now witnessing more female acts making their mark, with artists like Cardi B, Meg Thee Stallion, Ice Spice, Latto, and many others stepping into the spotlight. And I wanted to discuss not only their impact on rap, but more importantly, their impact on their target audience, which is women. The rise of female rappers, particularly if led by the names I've just mentioned, could have a rather intriguing influence on the young, impressionable female listeners, and arguably already has. It might not be the same as how men were affected, but it's a unique impact which you, the viewer, will begin to see as this video goes on. Back in the 80s, hip-hop saw their first female duo by the name of Salt and Peppa. They broke the charts with their hit single Push It, a song that was praised for its fun and make you want to dance rhythm. But it didn't come without its controversy, as many felt that the song had sexually suggestive lyrics being played throughout the radio. But either way, these two women went on to become the biggest selling female duo rap acts till this day. Nevertheless, it's interesting to see how women's first imprint on the rap game had to have some sort of sexual undertone. Salt and Peppa even stated publicly years later that they hated the fact that Push It was their breakout single, as for one, it was written by, quote, a sex addict, and two, it didn't showcase their lyrical credibility whatsoever. Following this iconic rap duo, MC Lyte emerged with her refreshing ability for storytelling over samples and drum loops. She made sure to represent for the ladies and carried herself with respect. However, it was a woman who most of us know as Queen Latifah, and even MC Lyte has acknowledged this, saying it was Queen Latifah who truly exposed America to the plight of black women, not only in rap, but overall. She did this with her 1989 hit, Ladies First. Queen Latifah truly began to pave a path for other female artists to make serious waves. as shortly after her, we got to witness Missy Elliott in the mid-90s shake up the scene with her unique style, delivery, and lyrics, further helping her to carve out women's lane in this male-dominated industry. But along with Missy Elliott came Brooklyn's own Lil' Kim. Lil' Kim is an interesting case, from her explicit lyrics, bold fashion sense, to her unapologetic persona. She made sure that her presence was strongly felt in an industry surrounded by her male peers. In my opinion, Lil' Kim was truly a first taste of the type of woman they wanted to shape through the influence of rap music. Then 2 years after Lil' Kim broke out with her 1996 album Hardcore, another female act coming from the South with the group 3-6 Mafia was making some buzz for her pretty rough neck and very sexually explicit lyrics, who went by the name Gangsta Boo. Releasing her first solo album in 1998 with songs like Suck a Lil' D*** or I'll Be the Other Woman, which kind of further hinted at the direction labels wanted to take female rap. But thankfully in 98, there was still balance within the industry, as artists like Lauryn Hill also released her debut studio album titled The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill. Lauryn Hill did a great job at picking up where someone like Queen Latifah left off with her consciously aware lyrics over soulful beats. She was making sure to hold herself to a certain class with lyrics from her hit single, That Thing, saying, "Showing off your ass cause you're thinking it's a trend. Girlfriend, let me break it down for you again. You know I only say it cause I'm truly genuine. Don't be a hard rock when you really are a gem. Baby girl, respect is just the minimum." I mean, compared to Lil' Kim's track Queen off her breakout album, "Bet I wet you like hurricanes and typhoons. Got buffoons eating my while I watch cartoons. Sleep till noon, rap Pam Grier's here. Baby drinkers be aware, mostly Dulce wear. Frank kill wives for 1.5. While you struggle and strive, we pick which Benz to drive. The mafia, you wanna be them. Most of y'all can't eat without per diem. I'm rich, I'ma stay that." Yeah, unfortunately due to copyright reasons, y'all gotta hear me rap those. But anyways, personally, I'm just saying that Lauren's conscious takes over soulful beats were a much more empowering thing for young women and even men to listen to compared to the rough and sexually explicit lyrics of Lil' Kim. I know that could be up to interpretation, as some women might have felt inspired by the rough style Lil' Kim had to offer. I just think that it could have been done without the leverage of her sex appeal. I know some Lil' Kim fans are gonna come at me, but hey.
It is what it is.
It is what it is.
Generally speaking though, women in rap during the 90s weren't solely focused on their physical appearance. It was more about how skilled they were on the microphone. Even artists like Lil' Kim and Gangsta Boo, who carried a more hypersexualized image, still had to demonstrate skill and respect, at least in terms of their abilities. For the most part, this was the case with the next up-and-coming female artist of the 2000s, such as Miami's own Trina, who like Lil' Kim was on that bad mentality, with that being the focal point of her music. And of course, during the 2000s, Lil' Kim was really holding her ground as the top female artist at the time. At this point, the direction female rap was heading in from the 2000s and onwards was beginning to come pretty clear. It was often about who's the baddest and hottest in the game, physically speaking. And Lil' Kim really carried the torch for a hot minute, until acts like Remy Ma came out in 2006 with a pretty similar persona as Lil' Kim. Then about a year later came a woman who would end up being the top solo female rap artist from the late 2000s and technically still to this day, Nicki Minaj. When Nicki came into the game, granted she was also from New York like the majority of the women I spoke of, she too made sure to come correct with the pen game. However, Nicki, similar to Lil' Kim, heavily emphasized her physical appearance and sex appeal. It became a central aspect of her public image and social presence.
Plus,
it's very evident through the content and imagery she puts out, the type of direction she's been leading her fans, with her hypersexualized image and Barbie diva persona. And in all seriousness, Nicki's definitely not someone women would want to strive to be.
If you're a fan of mine, that what you gotta do, if you wanna know my drug of choice or my drugs of choice, just listen to my music, child. because it's all right there.
Cocaine is a hell of a drug.
At least from a moral standpoint, putting the money and fame aside for a second, this woman is married to a registered sex offender. She's known for tearing other women down to maintain her spot. On top of that, she's a big reason why a lot of women struggle with their body image and go out of their way to do ridiculous surgeries and get wild BBLs that have them looking like ants and shit, or the letter P.
Push a P.
While I'm not trying to pin this all on Nikki, as of course there were other women in pop culture perpetuating this image, but I am talking about female rap music in particular right now. Shortly after Nicki Minaj came the Australian Iggy Azalea. And at this point, it was like, if you aren't twerking as a female rapper, you wouldn't make it.
This is the only way.
Kind of like how, at one point in the rap game, if you weren't a gangsta, people wouldn't take your music serious. But I digress. Iggy's first single had a pretty sexually suggestive video talking about her journey as a young girl on her own, trying to make it as a star. I mean, it makes you wonder what people might be willing to do for their chance in the spotlight. For the most part, Nicki Minaj really held the torch for female rappers. But in 2017, a few new faces were coming onto the scene who I would consider as leaders of the ratchet era. In 2017, the now chart-topping female artist Cardi B was beginning to make waves for her loud and confident personality, which many women couldn't help but to be drawn to. Cardi had quite the journey, going from a stripper in the Bronx who admitted to drugging and robbing men to a star in the mainstream. However, Cardi B has stated countless times that she doesn't even care enough about the art form to even write her own lyrics.
I like to make money. I don't really give a fuck about being lyrical. I don't give a fuck about this and that. If that shit don't work for me, I don't care. I like to make shit that's gonna make me money. I like to make shit that's gonna climb me off on the charts. Like, that's what I want. I want to be up top of the charts. I want to make money.
And for anybody claiming to be a rapper, this is something to be frowned upon. In addition to that, Cardi B teamed up with Meg Thee Stallion, who also got big around the same time, for her song Big Ol' Freak, which gave many of Cardi B's tracks a run for their money if you were to compare the raunchiness of the lyrics. Yet these two teamed up in 2020 to misguide the young women who idolized them on their wildly explicit song WAP, where you hear them saying a bunch of things, but here's just one line I wanted to point out. I don't cook, I don't clean, but let me tell you, I got this ring. It's like they want women to be stuck in this promiscuous diva phase where they hang their self-worth on their physical appearance and how raunchy they can be, rather than their passion for the art form and embracing modesty.
I like to make money. I don't really give a fuck about being lyrical. I don't give a fuck about this and that.
Think about it. Cardi B is telling her fans this. Meanwhile, she has a husband and she's doing those things behind the scenes at home. It's worth mentioning that around the time Cardi B was making waves, a female rap duo out of Miami was gaining traction by the name of City Girls, signed to Atlanta's QC label. What's interesting about the City Girls is, like Cardi B and Meg Thee Stallion, they were very upfront about their ratchet and promiscuous lifestyles. There was even a running meme that is still relevant now, conveniently referred to as the City Girls lifestyle, with tons of young women practically living by this, I don't need a man, but I want to take all a man's money and live lavishly type mindset. Young Miami, one half of the duo, even said in an article that she doesn't want her daughter to live the city girl lifestyle. Again, it's another example of an artist promoting a lifestyle to influence their audience, but not wanting it to affect their own blood, as they know how detrimental it can be. A little off topic, but I remember seeing a clip of Young Thug, someone with great influence right now in the rap landscape, say that he had to stop wearing nail polish because it was inspiring his son to want to wear it, and his wife did not want their son wearing nail polish.
I'm like a rock star. I used to wear nail polish. I had to stop wearing it because of my son.
Why?
Because he wanted to have nail polish, and his mom was like, man, you can't wear nail polish. He's like, my daddy did it. So he really wanted to do it. It slowed my career down a lot.
Oh, nigga, you gay.
But another thing that's worth considering, and it may even deserve its own video, is that Atlanta artist Lil Yachty, who is currently experiencing a resurgence in fame, admitted that he wrote some of the City Girls' biggest singles. This raises questions about why male rap music is gradually becoming more feminized. With artists donning nail polish and unconventional clothing, I mean, if some of the most prominent male rappers of this era are also penning hits for women, it's beginning to shed light on why the emasculating agenda is gaining ground.
It's a nigga right now rapping good the motherfucker. The gay is a motherfucker, we just don't know it.
Pause.
But I digress. So I guess this is where you gotta question whether it's truly the artist or the machine behind them that's doing this. Because as we know, a lot of these female rappers, especially the new ones, aren't writing their own music and are signed to major labels. Like I said earlier, these labels have made a killing, literally, off the gangsta, trap, and drill sounds, often at the expense of young men. And now we're seeing the shift to target women. They want to steer you down a path that leaves women childless, feeling used and bitter. What's worse is that the actual artist may have a different reality behind the scenes, but they're selling their audience the complete opposite. And again, don't take my message the wrong way. I'm not saying men are saints by any means. As I addressed in the earlier portion of this video, they profit off promoting lifestyles most of them don't even live or have ever lived. But I really wanted to dedicate this video to what's going on with women right now in the rap industry. So when I was doing research for this video, it seemed that the rise of the ratchet era, in a way, started long ago in the late 90s, but it really started to pop off in 2020. Seriously, at this point, if you were a female rapper trying to make it big, there was pretty much only one way, which is to sexualize themselves because they know it's an easy sell. These days, it's starting to seem like a competition for who could say the most raunchy lyrics while displaying borderline softcore porn in their videos, all in an effort to garner attention through their sex appeal and shock factor, with little regard for its ramifications on the young minds. And look, I'm not knocking women for being beautiful and slightly even using that to their advantage, as that's just what comes with being attractive. But I'm definitely trying to point out that there's a difference between confidence and modesty opposed to downright sex talk and practically all their biggest hits. So let's take a look at some of the newer female artists that are making big waves right now. We've got Latto, who technically broke out in 2019, but for the most part, saw the fruits of her labor in 2020. Again, her music pretty much only revolves around being a sexually liberated woman. And if you think I'm exaggerating, just hear how Latto herself describes the type of artist she is to a young girl.
What's your name?
Big Latto.
I love that name. That's so beautiful. First question. How would you describe your personal style?
I think I'm authentic. I think I give a modern, sexually liberated woman. You'll learn about that later.
Okay, so next question.
What the hell are you talking about?
Around the same time that Latto came up, hip hop also saw Lizzo making the charts with her blend of singing and rapping. But the difference with Lizzo is the type of image she portrayed, as it was catered to a different sect of females, albeit the more heavy set ones, giving them a voice with the aggressive push for what they claim to be body positivity, but let's be real, promoting an unhealthy, sexually permissive lifestyle is anything but positive for women to look up to. If you disagree with me on this point,
stop it. Get some help.
And then in 2022, the world of mainstream female rap only started to get more and more raunchy, just like how we had the evolution from grimy gangster rap to drug promoting trap music to straight murder music with drill. These next few artists I'm about to bring up truly lean into the ratchet and transgressive side of female rap music. Straight out of Memphis came GloRilla, who made the charts with her single FNF, which stands for free, which basically goes on to talk about how men aren't shit and that she rather do
who rest stuff.
Practically every one of her biggest songs are like this, not once choosing to switch up the subject matter. For two reasons. Firstly, being that the labels that sign these artists want this stuff flowing through the ears of the young and impressionable. Plus, the more raunchy and sexual the content is, the better it sells. I mean, this woman really out here preaching this to other young women.
Hey, ladies, how on you? My name is Nicole, my twin.
And I just want to let y'all know, be toxic for the rest of your 20s. You only get one life. Live your toxic 20s. You never get to be 20 years old, 21, 22, 23, 24, none of that ever again in your life. Be toxic, because don't get in your 30s thinking you could just go slashing ties and doing all this crazy shit. You too old for that now. You too mature. Be toxic for the rest of your 20s. And if you delusional, turn that shit up a notch. Enjoy the rest of your 20s. You only get to do this shit one time.
I need you to shut the hell up for the immediate future.
I mean, look, you got Ice Spice from New York out here twerking in every video, with her first album cover looking like this, with all the young girls looking up to her, especially after she signed a partnership deal with hip-hop's top female-selling act, Nicki Minaj, earlier this year. Again, these women could be really nice people if you were to meet them in real life. I'm not trying to downplay their success, but I am putting into question whether or not they're receiving the acclaim solely for their talent within the art form, or if it's their willingness to propagate a negative, stereotypical image of how the rap industry wants the modern woman to carry themselves. They'll tell you that a life of sexual promiscuity is what's going to help these young girls find themselves, only for it to often do the opposite. Just like how they sold men to have this tough gangsta image that will get them the money, the status, and the woman, only for the majority of them living that life to end up dead or in jail. Except for women, it's like they want them to be single, childless, and even worse, live as a single mother without thinking they need a man.
Does anyone know how I can cancel my membership to the whole feminist movement? Because it's not giving what it was supposed to give, so I'm no longer interested. Even the word feminist, what is feminine about me working hard and paying bills? Back then I'm singing independent. I don't know what possessed me to be singing such nonsense. It was the work of the devil to be wanting equal this and equal that. Now the man to be doing the manly things and the woman to be doing damsel in distress. Oh, I don't know what I would do without you. Because me, I need the man. For every little thing I want to be calling my man. Because who will be reaching the top shelf for me? Who will be killing spiders? Fine babe like me should be coming and killing spiders. Do I look like Xena the Warrior Princess? Listen, I don't know who brainwashed us. I don't know who started the movement. If it was Susan B. Anthony and the suffrage rights. But I'm suffering more today than I was yesterday. Please, whoever's in charge, unsubscribe me from the list. Cancel the membership now!
I guess, in a way, you could argue it's the woman's way of getting their get back for all the years men sort of degraded and belittled women, but damn, it really does suck to see how the industry spins it. But some of these women take it to further extremes. A while ago, I made a video called Let's Talk About Sex Magic, where I discussed a song that went viral by a female rapper in the South named TNFW Neek. Her song BDF, which stood for Baby Daddy Free, garnered a lot of attention for its lyrics and the video, as she basically brags about having abortions and terminating pregnancies, even outside of a Planned Parenthood clinic.
Tragic.
Again, is this really the type of content young women want to get behind and support? I mean, hey, I'm not a woman, so maybe I just don't understand, but I promise you this, if I had a daughter and this was the music I found out she was into,
ladies and gentlemen, we have problems.
Plus, I'd hope I'd raise her well enough to not even find this type of music entertaining. But these next two women really take the cake when it comes to that ratchet, ghetto music, and shit. There really isn't any other way to describe it, and I'm talking about Sukiyana and Sexy Red. Sukiyana got her chance in the spotlight back in 2016 for her role in the VH1 reality series Love & Hip Hop Miami, which is one of those ratchet TV shows that portrayed nothing but shitty stereotypes of the black community. Like Cardi B, Sukiyana got her taste of fame from her wild personality on reality TV, but these things really started to kick off for her in 2020. Women began to praise her R-rated behavior, for a lack of better words, but just listen to how she talks about her journey to fame and how it affected her.
I apologize and I'm sorry for what I'm about to say, but as far as this music stuff, I won't be doing this music stuff anymore. I started this because this is my dream, and you know, I wanted to make sure I could get me and my kids out the hood. It's always been my passion to rap. A while ago, I had signed a contract and I didn't know nothing about the business or this game out here. And just right now, I'm realizing that I sold my soul to the devil. I signed myself to the devil. I don't even own myself no more. I sold my soul to the mother devil, and I done prayed. I prayed. You know, and it's just like, I don't know if God can get me out of this, you know? And it's just, it's just like to the point where I don't even know, like I can't. I just want to say I'm sorry to my fans. I know y'all love me. I know y'all believe in me, but...
Again, another artist talking about the Faustian bargain, ultimately selling their morals for a little bit of change.
I'm trying to get my coochie stretched and eat a nigga ass. We be eating niggas ass today in London.
Gotcha. But guys, I had to save the worst for last, and yes, you heard me right, I did say worst, because out of all of the ratchetness that's coming through the airwaves, this woman, some even debate if she's really a woman, embodies all of the stereotypes of a ratchet, ghetto, promiscuous woman, and honestly, it feels like she's some agent planted by the industry to completely rot the minds of her young female audience. This woman goes by the name of Sexy Red. Sexy Red got a little bit of recognition for her remix of Vanessa Carlton's A Thousand Miles called A Thousand Jugs, but it was more of a ratchet meme song about straight murder. But at the same time, most didn't even know it was actually Sexy Red. It was in 2023 when she rebranded herself and came out with the song, which really gave her a lot more public recognition, blowing up on TikTok and whatnot. Of course, like her parody song back in 2018, this one was all about being ratchet, murder, killing, and drugs. I swear it's like she's the industry's ultimate experiment. I mean, she recently collabed with Atlanta artists Young Nudie and Lotto for the remix of Peaches and Eggplants, which is pretty self-explanatory. And honestly, people could really see through the facade and could tell the industry's just trying to push the most wild shit at this point. Like, I can't even show the video. It'd probably flag my video. But the stuff is basically softcore porn. I mean, go look at the comments and the like to dislike ratio on that track specifically, and people are not feeling what she's selling.
That shit is a two-pack of the are you talking about? That shit stinks.
And dirty. I mean, what I'm trying to get at with this video is that unfortunately, the powers that shouldn't be like to shine a light on female artists that often portray the worst aspects of what it means to be a woman. Despite the earlier pioneers of women's rap showcasing what it means to carry yourself with class and dignity, it seems like all of those morals got thrown out of the window after the late 90s. But I didn't want to end this video by only highlighting the ratchetness that's coming from the female rap world, because there are tons of dope female rappers out there that don't lead their career with their sexual appeal, but rather actually care for the art form they're in. Again, artists like Missy Elliott, Lauryn Hill, Queen Latifah, MC Light, but even in the modern day, we got Rapsody, Shay Noir out of Buffalo, who produces and writes her own stuff. Then you got Little Sims out in the UK, embracing her femininity and modesty. The reality is, we often hear that hip hop is dead and there's nobody making good music, whether it's the men or women. But truthfully, people aren't looking hard enough, and the industry is working overtime to shove what they want you to consume in your face on all platforms. So you guys tell me, am I tripping, or is the direction of female rap heading towards a complete degeneracy phase, or do you completely agree? Either way, be sure to let your boy know in the comments down below. As always, I really appreciate everyone tapping in. I know this video didn't have any gematria, but honestly, I didn't think it was needed to get my point across. But hopefully you still enjoyed it. Please be sure to like this video, share it, and most importantly, subscribe, man. Remember, all of those things are free to do. It's been your boy Script, and I'm out. Peace.